meditate on it. And so tonight, I'm going to read you about a man in the Bible. I've never heard it taught like this. This is what the Lord gave me in my daily reading the other day. So look at Luke chapter 7. This is where I was the other day. And I'm in, it'll be 11 tomorrow morning. But look at Luke 7. And I'm going to read you about a man in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you about a man that Jesus will help. We're going to study about a man that Jesus will help. You say, well, Danny, I need the Lord to help me. I do too. We all do. So we're going to find out tonight how you can get help from the Lord. You need help? I can tell you how to get it. Well, look, if you want to find out how to get help, read your Bible and see people that Jesus helped. Some of them he didn't help. This man he did. Luke 7, verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. They told him this: he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. That's a fine fellow there, buddy. He built them a church, or a synagogue, as they had Old Testament Jews at synagogue. So the man paid for a church building to be built, or a synagogue, as they used it then. Verse 6. And Jesus went with them. And it was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. For wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, there's an amazing story. And tonight, I'm just going to divide it up, and we're going to look at it. If that guy could get help from the Lord, me and you do what he did, we can get help from the Lord. All right? So let's study this chapter a little bit tonight. And I'm going to tell you this man had two things, and we're going to talk about tonight, that people in America short on. He had faith and he had humility. The man was humble. We'll see that in a minute. That's the way you get help from the Lord. You believe him and you humble yourself. You don't get nothing from God coming in there with this attitude like, well, I'm this and I'm that and I deserve, you know. That ain't the way you get something from God. Watch this man's story here. Bible said in verse 2, it said there was a certain centurion. You see that word centurion? Anybody know what a centurion was in the Bible? What does that word look like? C-E-N-T, century. Got it? That's 100. He was a man that was over 100 men. A centurion, you know, they had companies of 50s and companies like a sergeant in the army or a lieutenant or something like that. He was a centurion, century. 100. He was over 100 men. He was like we'd say now the boss man. And he had 100 men under him. One of his servants, his servant in this scripture, would be, me and you would say, like an employee. And he was sick and ready to die. This man had 100 men working underneath him, and one of them men got sick. And he sent word to Jesus come and heal that guy. Now, that tells you something about that man right there. He was concerned about somebody else. He didn't even ask for himself. He asked for that man. A person that's always asking for their self and watching out for their self, and it's all about me and my, and how's this going to affect me, and how's that going to hurt me? We're all naturally born that way, but that is not the way to get something from God. you get self out of the way. So he was a centurion. He had a servant that was about ready to die. And verse 3 said, he heard of Jesus. He heard. He must have believed. He must have believed. He had heard about him. I was telling Kelly tonight when we was pulling out of the hospital over there, you know, I'm glad that I heard about the Lord when I was a little kid. I'm glad I heard about it. Man, there's people up now blaspheming God. Somebody told me about some, or I got it somehow, about this little thing called Heaven and Hell. And these people were like this sort of an MTV type of show. And they were joking about Heaven and Hell. And they were saying, which would you rather be, a nobody in heaven or a ruler in hell? And all those kids were saying, oh man, I'd rather be in hell, man. I want to be in hell and be a ruler down there. They have no clue in the world what they're talking about. And just laughing about it like it's some kind of big joke. There ain't no rulers in hell. I got a rock album a long time ago where these guys said, we're going to rule in hell with Satan. This is Iron Maiden or one of them old heavy metal groups. They ain't going to rule in hell with Satan. They're going to be down there suffering and burning. But this guy had heard about the Lord. And he heard and he must have believed. And he told his wife or told somebody, he said, do you think if I could get him to come over here that he'll heal my servant? You reckon I could get him over here? And he started thinking right then. That's what we're doing Friday night. We're thinking, well, I believe we'd get the Lord to come down here and help shining light. I believe we'd get the Lord on that youth rally. I believe we'd get the Lord. I believe he can help us. That's the first step. You got to believe that he can do it. And you don't only got to believe he can, you got to believe he will. Right? Now, a lot of people say, well, God can do anything. Yeah, he can. But it ain't just enough to believe he can, you got to believe he will. Can he help me? Yep. Will he help me? You got to believe he will help you. And so what he done, he called some of his guys together and he beseeched him that he'd come and heal his servant. All right, let's say tonight that Jimmy sitting there was Jesus. And he sent these men, Jim and these guys here, Derek and David, and he sent these men over here to tell him. He said, you go over there where he's at and ask him, will he come and heal my servant? So they all come over here and they say, we've got a master back there and so and so, and he's got a servant and he wants to know if you'll come and heal him. That tells you a lot about that man. That tells you a lot about him. We're going to get to that in a minute. Stay with me. I mean, you're going to stay with me the first 5 minutes here, and then we'll get to the meat of this story. And you know what Jesus said? He said, I'll do that. That man, he already knew anyway who it was. And he said, I'll do that. So he followed him back over there to his house. Now here's the part I want you to see. Before they even got to the house, this man, somebody said, they're coming, he's coming to your house. And before they even got there, this guy said, look, you go out there and tell him that I am not worthy him to come under my roof. Now, man gets that attitude right there, you're getting somewhere. He said, he's a centurion. He's a boss man. And he sent them guys saying, you tell him that I am not worthy to come, for him to come under my roof. I don't deserve him to even come in my house. That's what my mom used to say every time somebody said, Lord, I don't want nobody coming over here and seeing this mess. No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. He said, I'm not worthy. It wasn't like nowadays. He said, bring him on over here. I want to show him what all I got. Look at that. I got this bedroom. Look at that. And there's the swimming pool. And there's my car. And there's my other car. And there's this and that. He didn't have that at all. He said, man, I don't even deserve for this man to come into my house. You just tell him. He said, here's what you tell him. He said, you tell him that he just speak that word, my servant. Lord have mercy. That man had it right. He had it right. He said, all you got to do is sit and speak that word. Listen, if God can say, let there be a world, and there is a world, and God can say, let there be a sun and a moon, and there was one, God don't have no trouble with the flu or cancer or nothing else that ever goes wrong in this world. Amen? That's right. And we believe that God does heal. He can heal people. I mean, when I get sick, the first thing I do is I start asking the Lord to touch me and heal me. And he said, you say in a word, So the Lord said, all right. And he said, now I'm a man, the centurion. Now we're back over here. The centurion said, I'm a man under authority. I've got servants, and I say to this one, do that, and he does it. I say to this one, do that, and he does it. He said this. He said, if I tell one of my servants, go over and chop that tree down, he'll do it. If I tell another servant, go out there and take my car and fill it up with gas so I can use it tomorrow, he'll do it. I do this, water the camels, he'll do it. Feed the sheep, he'll do it. He said, I'm a man having authority. And he said, if I can command my servants, you know what he was saying? He was saying, that man there has control over the elements. He can tell the waves to lay down on the ocean. He can tell the wind to stop blowing. I mean, we're talking big time power here. We're not talking about some little nut on TV that says, send me $100 and I'll send you a healing rag lay on your head. I'm talking about somebody can do it. I'm talking about the real deal, buddy. He's the real deal. I mean, he wasn't one of these guys that says, send me money and God will bless you. I want to call him up and say, well, you send me money and God will bless you. But you know, the Lord, he said, you can tell the wind lay down. You can tell it to stop raining. He can tell it to snow. You know why it snowed the other day? He told it to. You know when it stops? When he says man can't do nothing about it. Isn't that something how the Lord's got that fixed? It's out of our control. And he said, and you know what Jesus said? He said, man, I ain't found nobody with faith like that guy. And he didn't even want me to come to his house. And bang! He spoke the word and the boy was healed. Now, what's that guy got that me and you need? Two things. He believed everything about Jesus was right, and he had a humble spirit. Tonight, I'm going to talk about that humble spirit in just a minute. We're going to be real short, and I'm going to talk about humility. Humility. Humility is, I mean, this guy built him a synagogue, brother. It said he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. I bet he didn't even have his name. You know, this synagogue is the something, something, J, something at synagogue dedicated by so-and-so in his name. That's what they'd do now. Man build. If a man gave us money to build a church, they'd want his name put somewhere and they're like, he built him a church or a synagogue. The man paid for a synagogue to be built. He wasn't just, you know, some average guy. And I mean, he must have been wealthy. He was important. He had employees working under him. He had plenty of money. Boy, it's rare to find somebody that's got plenty of money that'll use it for God like that. So he feared the Lord. He had a respect for God. And he heard they was trying to build a synagogue. And he said, how much is it going to cost you? They said, $250,000. He wrote them a check and had it built. Think about that. That's a good man. And he got his servant healed. And so he had humility. Now, I want you to turn to another verse of Scripture here. And this is what we're going to talk about for a minute before we go. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. Everybody look at it with me if you will. Proverbs 16. And I quote this verse all the time. And we'll look at it here tonight. Proverbs 16, verse 18. And it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know what the Bible says about pride? It goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. It works in politics. It works in your home life. It works in church. It works in sports. A haughty spirit before a fall. You know what the devil did? You know what the devil did back yonder? Way back yonder before the Garden of Eden? He said, I will ascend and be like the Most High. I am going to exalt my throne above God. I'm going to be the big shot. I'm going to take the throne away from God. And the Lord goes, blam! Knocks him down. Knocks him down. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm going to teach you a lesson tonight. Take some advice. Some of us learned this easy way and hard way and both ways. About the time you start riding real high and thinking you're something, you're headed for a fall. Isn't that true?
You start thinking more of yourself than you should. Oh, boy, I'm this, man, I'm this, man, I'm that. Blam! Right down on your face. That's where you're going. You're better off to stay humble, people. You're a whole lot better off. I mean, history's full of examples. The devil, right on down through history, of people saying, like old guy told one guy said one time, he said, you think you're a hot snot, but you're a cold booger. That's right. That's right, man. You think about that. He said, you know what that man said? I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. He didn't say, well, Jesus, it sure is good for you to be here. Come on in. Let me show you around. Can I? No, sir. He said, I don't even deserve him coming under my roof. He don't even have to speak to me. If he'll just have mercy on me, I'd sure appreciate it. That's the way you get some more of God. And I'm telling you, our churches tonight are eat up with pride. Singing groups, Lord, preachers. I mean, them preachers come strutting, and them preachers make like peacocks. And they're about like that. Well, here I am, the great, wonderful son. It ain't no wonder God can't do nothing in most churches. We're so full of pride. You know what? We don't need to be tooting our horn, brother. We need to be having our face in this altar, asking God to have mercy on us. All of us. All of us. He said, I ain't worthy that you come under my roof. He didn't say, I build a synagogue, come heal my servant. He didn't even mention that. Didn't even mention it. He said, I'm not worthy you come under my roof. I'm not worthy. If you'll just speak the word. You don't even have to come to me. You don't have to call me. You don't have to come to my house. I don't have to tell nobody about this. You just speak the word. Well, and that's how he got it. That's how he got it. Amen. That's how he got it. Let's talk about this just a little bit. All the way through the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, Belshazzar, you know that king? He had that dream about the tree falling and all that stuff. And he come out there one day, and he got to walking around like this, and he said, isn't this great Babylon that I had built? Look at all this. He's like John Lennon did. John Lennon said, the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. And the Lord said, you ought not to have said that, boy. I mean, he ain't no popular than Jesus right now. You don't take that attitude toward God. You don't get this cocky, arrogant attitude of you're better than other people. Listen, people, nobody ain't better than nobody else. I'll bring it down a little bit closer to home. How about this? God is not impressed with you or me. Nebuchadnezzar went out there and he said, is this not great Babylon that I had built? And the Lord said, think. And he went crazy. Lost his mind. Grew hair like eagles, feathers, fingernails. Lost his mind 7 years. 7 times passed over him, we assume it's 7 years. And he lost everything. You know why? Pride goes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. You're better off to stay humble. You're better off to stay humble. Here's what God wants from you. He's not impressed with your looks. He's not impressed with your talent. He's not impressed with your education. He's not impressed with your knowledge. And he sure ain't impressed with your money. He wants a humble heart. Somebody will just say, you know what? I ain't nothing. I've had people in church years ago come up and say, well, if I don't get to teach the class that I want to teach, I'll just quit church and find me another church. Well, somebody like that ain't got no business teaching no class. They need to be in the nursery with a big pacifier stuck in their mouth. Big baby. That's right. They're a big crybaby. Hey, you know who deserves to teach? The person that says, you know what, preacher? If you need me, I'm here. If you don't, I'll sit right here and say amen and pray. That's the right attitude. Don't exalt yourself. If anybody wants to put you up, let the Lord put you up. Don't put yourself up. You'll get yourself knocked down. I forget, years ago, it's been, some of y'all remember this, Tim will. Bailey probably will. Bailey's here tonight. He can help me. I don't know football stuff. I know a little more about basketball. And they know it more than I do. But years ago, old Charles Barkley, everybody knows Charles Barkley, don't you? Old Charles, he was a great player, but he's a lot of mouth, too. You know, he run that mouth. And I remember when they was playing, he played for Phoenix Suns, and they was playing somebody. I don't even remember who it was. It might have been back in the Jordan era or somewhere. Anyway, they was going playing for the finals or the semifinals. And old Barkley, he was bragging. He was saying, we're going to win it. We're going to win it. We're going to win it. And I heard him say this on the end. And they said, how do you know you're going to win? He said, God told me we was. And I remember thinking, I thought, man, you better shut up. I said, you don't say stuff like that. And you know what? The Lord must have lied. No, God didn't lie. God didn't tell him no such thing, did he? Because he didn't win. If God told him he's going to win, you will. But God didn't. And you know what the Lord says? You shouldn't have talked like that. Bam! Down on your face. He never did win no championship. You're better off to say, well, we're going to do the best we can. You know, have that attitude. Any coach. Our coach used to tell us that, don't you get this attitude of we're this and we're that. You're going down. Anybody gets that attitude, going down. Right? Anybody? Including the Panthers. Say amen right there. Am I right, Eric? Now look, I ain't no football. Y'all know me, I ain't no football. I thought I'd wake y'all up about time. Finally said something enough spiritual for y'all to catch and relate to. You're bored when I was talking about the centurion wanting his son healed, like his servant healed. But anyway, I don't know if Cam, what's his name, sports car, spark plug, whatever his name is, Camshaft, I don't know if he is a Christian. Is he a Christian? He is? Clayton. You know, he's an archangel, ain't he? Now, I don't know if he's saved or not. I have no idea. I don't know nothing about the man. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm telling you, that book says, I don't care who it is. You remember Muhammad Ali? I remember when I was young, Muhammad Ali, he prayed. He said, I'm going to sting like a bee. I'm going to butter you. You know, not now, he can't count to five. I'm telling you, the Lord will knock you down. The Lord will knock you down. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. Pride goes before destruction. You better keep this. You better stay down. You better stay down. Listen, if you stay down, when you fall, you don't have as far to go. Bigger they are, what? Amen, brother. Amen. Now, when God blesses you, and you got a little talent, you get a little money, the first thing you know, you start thinking, boy, I'm really. Now, the truth is, everything you've got, he gave it to you. You know, and people in Hollywood, you know, they get in by their looks, especially them female actors and stuff. They get there because their looks. They're pretty beautiful, handsome, and they start thinking, ha, I'm better than everybody else. Listen, God that gave you that pretty nose can whack it off if he wants to. God that gave you that beautiful hair, that's what he said in the Bible. I mean, he'd take it just like that. So you better realize where it come from. If you've got health, you better remember who gave it to you, and you better remember he can take it away just like that. Old Muhammad Ali went down, and I don't know about Camshaft, but I'm telling you something, brother. If they start thinking too big, what's the problem with the Super Bowl is you got both of them thinking they're hot stuff. Somebody's going to lose. I don't know. But I tell you one thing, you mark my word, about the time people start talking big and tough, they go down. Mark my word. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That makes me wonder about Donald Trump, really. I'm telling you, I'm not politicking. I ain't telling you who to vote for. We'll talk about that one of these days, maybe. I'm not telling you who to vote for. It's a mess either way. It's crazy. But I'm telling you, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having self-confidence, but you've got to realize where it come from. Did y'all see that thing? Somebody sent us something that Kelly got on their phone or something, and they was interviewing Donald Trump, and they asked him, have you ever asked God to forgive you? Did anybody else see that? Check it out. They said, have you ever asked God to forgive you? And he would not answer that question. He's never asked God to forgive him. I'm telling you, I can't go 2 hours without asking the Lord to forgive me of something. I'm sorry about that. I'm pitiful. And Donald Trump has never asked God to forgive him. He said, well, I take communion in the Presbyterian church, and I drink the juice and eat the wafer, and I figure that's cleansing for anything I failed in, and I try to do better. That's what he said, I try to do better. And I'm telling that guy's got a boatload of self-confidence. I'm telling you what. But I'm afraid he's going to go down sometime sooner or later. Maybe. I know she'll nail him to the wall, buddy. Yeah, he's going to boycott the debate because he don't like Megyn Kelly and she don't like him. And he needs her on his side. But he got this attitude, I don't need nobody. Sooner or later you will. And I ain't talking politics. I'm talking life. The day's going to come when you'll need somebody. All right, who had their hand raised? Who? Who is this now? I don't know who that is. Oh, Bloomberg. That Bloomberg? Yeah, I heard about that. He's got $40 billion? Lord have mercy. I hope he don't do that. Somebody was fussing at me today saying, vote for Rand Paul, vote for Rand Paul. I said, if you vote for Rand Paul, you are voting for Hillary. That's what you're doing. A vote for an independent party is a vote for Hillary. But we'll talk about that some other time. You'd think people have enough sense to figure that out. But we're talking about humility. Stay humble, y'all. Stay humble. He who knows himself best esteems himself least. Say that again. He who knows himself best esteems himself least. Old Bobby Knight. Many of y'all remember old Bobby Knight, coach of the, who was them people out there? Yeah, Indian Hoosier. A long time ago, I remember him growing up. Everybody talking about old Bobby Knight. He was a mess, man. That guy was a mess. He was a great coach, but he's crazy or something. I don't know what's wrong with him. But he said, just remember this. Wherever you start in life, there's going to be somebody always above you. Get used to it. Get used to it. There's always going to be somebody telling you what to do. It's going to be your daddy, or a policeman, or a judge, or a doctor. Get used to it. You don't rule this world. There's always going to be somebody you want to answer to. And my daddy and mom always tell us this. They say, no matter how good you are, you're going to run into somebody better. You know, like a fighter, you know, a big tough fighter. I don't care how tough you are. You're going to meet somebody one of these days that can whip you. So you better stay humble. The best thing to do, fly under the radar. Stay low, stay humble, and do what you can do. And don't start thinking, I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm this, and I'm that. Because, man, you go down on your face. I'm telling you. Some people would die. This lady, I knew her, married over 30 years. And she told me, she said, I never heard my husband one time say he was sorry. He never said he was sorry for nothing. I said, you're kidding me. She said, no. She said, Brother Danny, we've been married 30 years. She said, he's never one time admitted he was wrong or said he was sorry. There's something wrong with somebody like that. There's something wrong with somebody like that. Listen, if you're wrong, you're wrong. Be man enough to admit it. When you do something or act wrong, be man enough to say, okay, I'm sorry, man. My fault. Donald Trump, I don't know if Donald Trump's ever said he's sorry or made a mistake. That's a bad trait. That's a bad trait. People think, well, I don't want to show no weakness. Listen, that ain't weakness. The Bible said Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He cried. You think he's weak? Uh-uh. It takes a bigger man sometimes to walk away from a fight than it does to say, get your head knocked off. Listen, humility. Some people die before they'd say, I'm sorry, or I was wrong, or anything like that. Here's what my mom used to say. My mom used to say, he's too big for his britches. You ever heard anybody say that? Too big for his britches? You ever heard anybody say, he's got above his raisin? Yeah, that's country, ain't it? That's real country. He's got above his raisin. One guy said, man, these pants are tighter than my skin. I said, what? He said, these pants are tighter than my skin. I guess it should be a lady. And he said, they said, why, man, them pants ain't tighter than your skin. He said, they are, too. He said, I can sit down in my skin, but I can't sit down in these pants. But you know what? Some people got above their raisin. You ever know them? You know, growing up, they're just an average old guy, and then they get up and they get a little money, and they get a nice house, and they get and then they don't speak to you when you're uptown. You know, people sure act funny when they get a little money. You know that old song? Yes, I do, y'all. People sure act funny when they get a little money. Yes, I do, y'all. That's a crazy old song. People sure do squeal when they get a dollar bill. Yes, I do, y'all. I remember that song growing up. You got to be old to know that song, man. And it says, people, I can't remember the other verse of it. But anyway, it was saying money changes a person. One time as two people went up to pray. We're about done here. I want you all to help me for a minute. One time as two people went up to the synagogue to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. And the Bible said the Pharisee stood there and said, "Boy, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people." Boy, what a prayer. What a prayer. You know, a lot of people wouldn't admit it, but that's their attitude. I thank you that I'm not like other people. I pray every day. I fast twice a week. I'm more right with God than anybody. I'd never do this and I'd never do that. And the Lord didn't even look at that guy. The Lord, y'all listening to me? The Lord didn't pay one bit of attention to him. And the other guy stood over there and hit himself in the chest and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible said the Lord heard that guy and he went home right. You don't come to God and impress him with how good you are. You come to God with the attitude of, "I'm nothing, you're everything, I don't even deserve that you even mess with me." And then you're going to get somewhere. Don't ever forget that, y'all. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget, if you start riding too high and mighty, you'll go down somewhere. You'll go down somewhere, somehow, some way. They said this, if any of God's saints start growing too many feathers, the Lord somehow or another will pluck them thing one of these days. He'll pluck your feathers. He'll do it. He'll put you, he hates pride. Like we've talked about, a lot of people say, "Oh, God hates adultery, he hates murder, he hates drunken," and he does hate all that. Do you know what he hates? Pride. He hates it when people start thinking they're better than what they are or they're something special. All right, somebody help me there. Who had their, thought somebody had their hand raised there a minute ago? John Newton. Great man John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. I think he's the John Newton that did. He said this, when he's laying dying on his deathbed, somebody come to him and they said, "Well, sir, you about gone?" He said, "Yes, I'm going the way of all the earth and you're coming after me." And he said, "When you get to heaven, I'll already be there, and if you inquire and ask where I am, I'll tell you where I'll be." They said, "Where?" He was a great saint of God. You know what he said? He said, "When you get to heaven and want to find me, you'll find me sitting at the feet of the thief on the cross that Jesus saved the day he died." You know what he was saying? He was saying the same thing Paul said, "I am chief of sinners." He said, "I'll sit down at that thief's feet when I get to heaven." I think a lot of people think, "Boy, when I get to heaven, the band's going to play." And they're going to say, "Yeah, I don't know about that, brother. I don't know about that." You better watch that kind of attitude. You're liable to be last in line. People say, "Well, there's going to be Billy Graham. There's going to be this and that." And I'm not saying some great person might have a reward. I'm not. I just say his, threw his name out there so you can understand what I'm saying. God's probably going to pull up some old grandma up there in Boone or Spruce Pine somewhere that never had no education or nothing and loved God and prayed a hole through the sky. And she's going to be at the front of the line. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. Might fool you. Might fool you. So the best thing to do, y'all, stay humble. If you're never famous, no problem. Don't worry about being famous. Don't try to be famous. It don't matter. Live for God, stay humble, and you'll do right. We was talking about Charles Barkley a while ago. Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry is a Christian. He was raised down here in Charlotte and grew up playing ball out there in the backyard. I don't know if y'all ever heard his testimony, and that boy, he knows the Lord, and he was raised right in a Christian school. Raised in a Christian school. They wouldn't even let him go to a public school. Raised him as a Christian, taught him right, and of course now, and I worry about that boy, man, because he's so talented and so good. I think, oh, Lord, something bad's going to happen. That's what, you know, because, you know, it does everybody. Sooner or later, something bad happens. If he can stay humble, you'll be all right. But it's hard to stay humble. Power, money, fame, fortune, first thing you know, you start believing that stuff. It gets in your head. That's why every time he scores, you see him do this. He's thanking the Lord. He's thanking the Lord. You ought to get on there and say, "All right, you bunch of sinners." I'd like to hear him do that. That'd be cool if he'd preach him a sermon. But you know what? You better off stay humble. You better off say, "Look, everything I've got, God give it to me. And I don't deserve it, and the Lord will exalt you in due time." All right, anybody have something you want to say? Paul said, "I am chief of sinners." They say this, the best singing you've ever heard comes comes from little birds, little bitty birds. Lark, wren, sparrow. Big birds don't sing. Ostrich. You know, eagles, they don't sing. They just make old croak. Little birds do the prettiest singing. That's the way Christians are. The little, unknown. Man, there's some preachers out here in these little old country churches. Lord have mercy. They're plugged in. They can preach a paint off the wall. And nobody ever even hears of them. God don't look at things the way we look at them sometimes. So keep yourself humble. All right? Miss Desi, why don't you come up here? Let's bow our heads for a minute and we'll pray. And I want every one of us just to ask the Lord tonight to help us to get this lesson. You know how come that guy got help from Jesus? He said, Lord, I don't even deserve you coming under my roof. She's playing softly. And we're going to pray for a minute. We'll wait. Just take a minute here and pray.